Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Great Saturday afternoon to you.
Glad to have you back, brother.
Thanks, man. It's good to be here. Let's let it all hang out. We're going to get a little nuts today.
Skin in the game, baby.
Skin in the game. Skin Let's the let game. It all hang out.
All right. What we do here on The Drift every Saturday is go over what we put on The Daily Drift, www.thedailydrift.com. It's the news you need to know. Make sure you're going to that website. And I put all the links from around the globe there for you to read. So make sure you get to it and utilize that site. I put a lot of effort into it. So let's take care of our sponsor and get that out of the way because I know we're going to get into some things that are going to set you and me both on fire. The Rock Shop is our sponsor this half hour. Conveniently located off of M14 at Gottfredson Road is the Rock Shop. You can go to their website, www.rock-shop.com. Or call them, 734-455-5560. Now, Marco and Helena will teach you to install everything they sell for free. And with the weather getting cooler, now is the time to take care of your backyard, front yard, patio areas, and they got all kinds of good stuff from pavers and stones and boulders to fountains. So go check it out. You might want one of those little koi ponds, you know, a little koi. You can always eat them when the world ends, too.
What's a koi?
Don't be coy with me.
I don't know. What is it?
It's like a giant goldfish. It's those red and white and sometimes gold goldfish that you see in those little outdoor ponds and stuff.
Yeah, and they poop up a storm.
I would imagine. They're good-sized fish. They're carp, basically. Someone told me that goldfish are really just carp.
Did you ever make your little brother drink aquarium water when you were a kid?
Oh, no, I drank it myself. Why would I waste that on him?
You got all your vitamins and minerals that way.
All right, so we're going to start out, you know, this week above all the weeks, there's a million things we could talk about. We could talk about the debates and blah, 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 but everyone's done that already. I'm sure that'll come up.
Yeah. Is this a Trump-free zone today?
Let's try. Okay. I don't know that we can because I think somehow it falls in.
It'll happen.
What it seems to be the big issue this week is, are we living in some kind of pro-Islamic, anti-Christian environment? I mean, it seems that way to me. It seems like the government, the media, everybody, our president, are trying to force us out of our Christianity for some reason. And the latest story this week that really got you hot was Ahmed Mohammed, the clock boy.
Yeah, Muslim clock boy.
Yeah, yeah. And I've got, should we try and bring this up a little bit here? Let me see if I can pull this up. So most people, I think, have heard about this. There was a young kid named Ahmed Mohammed, and he built inside a briefcase, of all things, an electronic clock. So he probably soldered all the little cards together and whatnot. And one of the Daily Gator's got a great piece on it, and I'll put it on there. And it's got pictures of, you can actually see the pictures of what this kid built. It doesn't look like a clock to me. It looks like a bomb out of a James Bond movie or something.
Yeah, I was going to say on 24. It looks like an IED,
yes.
But a very sophisticated one.
Yes. Yes, and so he showed it to his one teacher, his engineering or math teacher, and the teacher said, yeah, all right, that's really cool, but you might not want to take that to other classes. Why don't you just leave it? Well, the kid took it to other classes, and one of the English teachers heard it beeping and flipped out, and then they called the authorities and whatnot. Well, you know, you were told by the one teacher who may have understood your project, yeah, you might not want to drag that around, because it's in a briefcase, for crying out loud, 14-year-old kid, right, in Texas. And so they called the police, and the police officer said Ahmed was being passive-aggressive in his answers to the questions and didn't have a reasonable answer as to what he was doing with the case. Investigators said the student told him that it was just a clock and he was messing around with. We attempted to question the juvenile about what it was, and he would simply say it was a clock. He didn't offer any explanation of what it was for, why he created the device, or why he brought it to school. That's the Irving Police Department of Texas. So the kid's been very garrulous with the media, of course.
And guess what? All time bombs use clocks of one nature or another.
Yeah, you know what? Building a clock that looks like this is a little odd. Okay, and of course, but, so now people are thinking, and you and I, I'm conspiracy Gary anyways. It makes me think, what's the ulterior motive here for this kid?
Well, there's so many layers to dissect here, right? And you started off the show with saying, are we in a pro-Islamic, anti-Christian, driven by the media and our elite politicians? And I think some of that's partly true, including our commander-in-chief. But, you know, don't mind him. He's a forceps baby. He doesn't. He doesn't mean anything.
Me and my arrow?
He's doing the best he can. But, no, back to this kid. Okay, 14 years old, walks in with this suitcase with all the wires and the little gizmos in there. It would look suspicious no matter who brought this thing in. So let's establish that. If it was some fat, redheaded, freckle-faced kid that walked in with that, I would still be suspicious because it looks suspicious in today's day and age. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, if the kid brought it, I'm gonna hold off on this, what a thought I have, but it doesn't matter what ethnic background you are when you bring something like that to the school in today's day and age, unless you live in a cave and don't know what's going on around the world, then it needs to be checked out.
Yeah.
Right? Now, here's the thing. Now, I'm not going to say it's an equal playing field, because now if you're the fat, redheaded, freckle-faced kid, for example, that brought that in instead of this Muslim Ahmed Muhammad kid, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm going to give it even a little more scrutiny because you are a Muslim. Yeah. Shame on me. I don't care. You know why? Because all you have to do is realize that ISIS, Al-Qaeda, they use children's suicide bombers. They take pride in it. It's not me making this up. It's not our media making this up. You hear these people and they say, you don't understand our religion, our culture. Our religion is about slavery and death. They're the first to say it.
Yeah,
the ones that are at war with us, the ones that are attacking us overseas, the ones that are bringing it here, they're the first to claim it. This is not a made-up load of crap. And so, yes, if you are a Muslim and your name is Ahmed Muhammad and your mother wears the goblin suit, I'm going to be a little more suspicious than normal.
Yes.
But I'm going to be suspicious anyway, no matter who brings this damn thing in.
Yeah, well, it was obviously legitimate to question him and detain him or do whatever. Because you know what? A kid chewed a Pop-Tart into the shape of a gun and was also questioned and suspended for it. Are you kidding me? So, of course, absolutely, the police and the school did the right thing by making this. And if people want to blow it up, well, screw you. Go ahead and blow it up. But you know what? It was significant, and the police did the right thing in pulling this kid over.
Yeah, and the kid being evasive and everything else, this thing needs to be checked out. Better safe than sorry. Because if they would have looked at it and said, oh, you know what? He's just a kid and he's a Muslim, so we better even back off that much more. And there was a bomb. There was a threat situation. Well, then they would all, these very same people that are outraged because he's a Muslim and was, like, you know, called out on it, they'd be saying, why aren't the police doing their job?
Right.
Why aren't the authorities protecting my children? And other Muslims in the area that go to that school, I would hope that they would want their Muslim children protected as well.
Yeah.
Because Muslims are the first to blow up other Muslims. We see that in Iraq. We see it in Syria. We see it all over the world.
Yeah. Muslims are the biggest factor killed by Islam.
Oh, yeah. Simple. Muslims have killed more Muslims than the West will ever in collateral damage in any war. Yeah. Now, you know what? Now, see, I'm reading this article, and I thought, there's got to be some sensibility out there someplace in this whole story. Somebody's got to be saying, you know what? The police did the right thing. The authorities at the school did the right thing. And I see this article that says the North Texas Islamic Association, or whatever they're called, they say they don't fault the police and they don't fault the school for this. And I thought, wow, that's really pretty cool. But there's more. I keep reading. Do you know who they fault? They fault our politicians in the media for stroking up anti-Muslim sentiment and being so ridiculous that Muslims are terrorists. Yeah, so I'm like, all right, you started off okay. And now, but you have to blame someone besides yourself, and you're blaming politicians in the media for singling this Muslim kid right. out. Why right. couldn't you have left it and said, you know what, they did the right thing. It's better to be safe than sorry. Check this out. We know he's a Muslim, but we know that we are under suspicion because of fellow Muslims, what they do around the world.
Yeah.
But no, they had to blame others and act like everything's fine. Now, I'm going to say one more thing, and I'll turn it back over to you before I forget. So you see this kid's mother, right? And she's covered up in the whole – you kind of see her face. That's it. At least it wasn't the whole – face covered, and you just see the eye slits. But you see all the hair covered, all the Arab garb the Muslim garb that she's wearing. And she's going on, oh, blah, 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 pity party me, pity party us Muslims, my son, and blah, blah, blah. And I wanted to say to this lady, you know what? This isn't the time of Leave It to Beaver. This isn't 1957 and Beaver Cleaver coming to school with his Popeye the Sailor lunchbox at Show and Tell. This is a much more dangerous time, lady. Pay attention to the world. Are you living in a cave, or are you so stupid, or are you a soft jihadist that's bringing the jihad in your way, psychologically, to America? And why did you choose to live here? If you're so offended by the authorities checking out your kid, go back to where you came from. I know that the father came from Sudan. What a lovely place that is.
Yeah.
If you have any complaints, go back.
Yeah, exactly right.
I'm outraged over the outrage.
You should be. Well, our Islamist-in-chief, Barack Obama, did what he would always do. He invited the kid to the White House.
Yes.
He said, Ahmed, come to the White House, great clock, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know, somebody, of course, asked him, are you going to bring the clock to the White House?
Is there a situation where he doesn't make an ass out of himself on something that doesn't involve him, where he's got to jump in, you know, the Professor Gates thing, now this, it just goes on and on.
Yeah. Well, here's my favorite young kid, about the same age, C.J. Pearson, who's on Facebook, and you should look him up, and this kid has some of the greatest rants against Barack Hussein Obama. And this is a young American 14-year-old boy. He's a great kid. You got that track ready, Derek? He rips into Obama for this invitation. Not ready yet? No, he's not ready. Anyway, C.J. Pearson, you go to Facebook and look him up. You can Google him up on YouTube. This kid is well-educated, well-spoken. Obviously, he's African-American, happens to be African-American. His parents have done, obviously, a wonderful job teaching their son common sense and conservative values and American values, you know. While Derek's getting that ready, let's take a quick call from Jenny. I know she wants to go off topic a bit. Jenny, welcome to the show.
No, I don't. I'm going to screw my topic because I don't care about it. You know what, you stole my thunder about all this stuff that you're talking about. I thank you for it. And I know why certain people, get a pass these days, because it's a scare tactic. You know, it's just like the liberals. Everybody gets a pass that shouldn't, and they just want to put the rest of us down. Excuse me. They want to, it's a tactic. Bully us, all that stuff, so that we won't talk anymore. But guess what? We're still talking.
Well, we're certainly talking down here. And I know when Drake calls me up and says, hey, can we talk about this today? I'm like, absolutely, dude, because he's on fire. So, yeah, I mean, we have to keep talking about it. And don't fall for that politically correct crap. That's the symptom that's killing us in this country right now. So be it.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, I'm like you last week. I am getting madder and madder. And you know what? I'm sick of these certain people getting a dang pass.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to give him a pass on
you know
this
what?
Show, that's for sure.
Jenny, while you're on the line here, don't you think that if this kid's working on this sophisticated clock with all the wiring and gizmos in there, and don't you think that if this kid had any real common sense and his parents had any common sense, they could have taken a picture of it, they could have called the school, and they could have said, listen, this is what my son's project is. We don't want anyone to be afraid. We don't want anyone to, you know, call the police. You're certainly entitled to if you want, but this is the project. Can we bring it in? A little clearance. You don't just, like, show up with this thing.
Yeah, it's craziness. Anything else?
Well, it's because they're allowed. It's because they're, you know, they can do anything they want. We can't do anything we want.
That's it.
But, yeah. That's all part of soft jihad.
Little kid can't draw a gun, right?
Yep. And that's why, and I said, is it going to be a Trump-free zone? And that's where Trump is tapping into the American anger of common sense where what you just said, Jenny, he's the only politician that will voice the outrage that we're all feeling on things like this.
Yeah. Well, great comments, Jenny. Appreciate the phone call as always.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks.
You got it. Take care. All right, so you got that track ready, Derek? Let's play this. It's a short one. It's only a minute and 50 seconds or something. It's CJ Pearson on Facebook or on YouTube. Go ahead, play it.
This is going to be quick, because in all honesty, I think I can do through this quick and still make my point. Now, Mr. President.
Hey, Derek, turn it up.
When Kate Stoneman was gunned down by an illegal immigrant, you didn't do anything. Okay. You didn't even call the family. You didn't invite them to the White House. Is that okay? I don't think so, Mr. President. And to go even further, Mr. President, when cops are being gunned down, you don't invite their family to the White House. You never did. But when a Muslim kid builds a clock, well, come on by. What is this world that you're living in? You know, when the shooting in Chattanooga happened, it took you longer to lower the flag to half staff than it took you to light the White House in rainbow colors after the SCOTUS decision legalizing gay marriage. Mr. President, what are your priorities here? What are your priorities? Because in all honesty, I think you're being ignorant, I think you're incompetent, and I think you don't understand reality. The reality of the situation is that you don't get invited to the White House for building a clock. I'm sorry. I hate to be harsh, but it's the blatant truth. He's a Muslim kid, he fits into your agenda, so you're going to go ahead and invite him? Well, that's great for you. But Mr. President, these people were gunned down. Innocent. Kate Stanley was innocent. She didn't do one thing. This man was deported. He lived in a sanctuary city, so he was able to roam free. And that was all your fault, Mr. President. And to go even further, in Chattanooga, it was because of you, Mr. President, that these brave men and women weren't able to carry their guns on their military base. Once again, your fault, Mr. President. And to go even further than that, Mr. President, cops are being gunned down every single day because of your actions. Because you're seeking to appease terrorists, domestic terrorists, and those domestic terrorists are the Black Lives Matter movement. And you think, Mr. President, that I'm going to respect you? How am I going to respect you when you don't respect the brave men and women and innocent people who've lost their lives because of your incompetence? I'm sick and tired of it, and I think the American people are too. Thank you.
All right, so there you go. Yeah, CJ Pearson.
How old?
14.
Thank God.
Yeah.
That gives me a little hope.
That's a good American youth right there. Let's take a quick call from, I think this is Ken online too. Ken, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment quickly that since it's a historical, undeniable fact that since the 7th century, Muslims have both tried to kill all non-Muslims, that since the 7th century under Muhammad, all Muslims have tried to transform their land, the world, into an Islamic state. It is not unjustified to be concerned about what they're doing, what they're trying to do, their behavior. We need to accept the reality of who these people are and deal with it, and not try to promote a false narrative like the president is. Devout Muslims, anyone who follows Muhammad, they are not peace-loving. History can show and prove that.
And Ken, they're the first to tell us that.
Yeah.
We just refuse as a nation to believe it.
Well, that's what concerns me, is because we have two sources. We have the teachings of Islam itself, the Quran, the Sharia law, as well as we have history since the time of Muhammad as proof. These people are not peace-loving. You cannot find one proof that they're peace-loving. And I'm sick and tired of the president and other people that try to promote the lie that they are.
Well, you know, I was listening to a story, I believe it was on NPR, actually, and this woman correspondent was sitting down with, I think it was a father in Syria, maybe Afghanistan, I can't remember, but in a war-torn Islamic nation, of course, and he was grooming his two young sons to be suicide bombers. And, you know, he was very upfront about it, very proud of it. And she was trying to touch on the human fatherly side of it and said, "You really want your sons to die?" And he says, "Absolutely." He says, this is our religion. And she says, "But they're going to die at such a young age." And he says, "You don't understand anything about our religion." I mean, he was confused by her questions.
Yeah.
How could she ask those things?
Culture of death.
Yes.
Well, true devout followers of Islam won't lie about that fact. unless, of course, they're trying to deceive us, which is one thing they're allowed to do. And so we
told
have
to
got
do.
To educate people to the truth. Barack Obama is a man that was raised in an Islamic school in Indonesia as a child. And believe me, his behavior shows me that Barack Obama is in fellowship with Islam. And that's not a good thing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, great points, Ken. Our phone lines are lighting up. Let me let you go.
Thanks Ken.
Again, Ken. Appreciate it. Well, if all this sounds like there'd be too much of a coincidence, maybe there is. As you stated, Ahmed's father, Al-Hassan,
ran for president.
He's a native of Sudan who is now an American citizen and likes to call himself a sheikh. He wears the cleric's robes. He goes back to Sudan to run for president repeatedly. And, you know, really? So you think this is just a coincidence that this guy's son is the one that shows up at school with a bomb like they're trying to get some attention?
I wish Barack Obama would go back to where he was born in Indonesia and run for president.
Kenya.
It's all the same. What's the difference?
Okay, so...
You're crazy. You're crazy.
Well, it goes in. So we weren't going to talk about Trump, but we have to. Because you know what? Donald Trump had one of his meetings, his town halls, and this guy stands up, and obviously he's either a plant, or he's one of these really right-wing guys who's kind of a birther, and he calls Obama a non-citizen, calls him a Muslim, and you know what? Donald Trump just kind of ignores him and goes, hey, because the point the guy was making was, hey, we've got these Shia militia-type areas here in the United States, and we're not doing anything about it. And Donald Trump says, we're going to look at that, we're going to take care of it, we're going to fix it. You know, he didn't acknowledge the guy to say, yes, you are correct, Barack Obama is a Muslim
he just kind of
blew it off.
Yeah.
You know, because you know what? That gentleman, whether he's crazy or not, whatever you want to believe, he's an American citizen and has the right to say whatever he wants, whether it's true or whether it's stupid. And it's not Donald Trump's place to call him out and say, that's not true, it's not your opinion, it's not the facts, and you shouldn't. It's not his job to do that. Donald Trump did the right thing. Let the man speak his piece and move on and answer the question to the best of his ability. He didn't acknowledge it. He didn't agree with it. He just let him have his piece, which is a sign of a good leader, if you ask me.
And they're trying to frame Trump as if he's the one that kind of brought all that on, and he's trying to make it, you know, the whole birther thing again, which Trump has let
absolutely.
Go. You know, real quick, Jimmy Fallon imitates Trump a lot in his little shtick, you know.
Yeah.
So he's got the phony Barack Obama guy who does a good job playing Barack Obama. And they're going back and forth in a phone call. And the Barack Obama guy goes, you know, hey, you know, Donald, I can't imitate Obama, but I just got back from Kenya, you know, and visiting. And Jimmy Fallon, Trump says, it's always nice to go home.
Derek, how much time we got? 2 minutes. Let's get Tim. Tim on line one. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
Hey, you know, I heard an extensive piece on another talk show that dealt with Muhammad timepieces and how he took his clock to school. There was a comment made by that kid that said he was surprised that he got as far as he did.
Wow.
And then there's a, if I'm correct on this, this information comes either from the Daily Beast or the Daily Caller. And the reason why I got so much nationality so quick is that the family has ties to CARE, some big wigs in CARE.
Yeah, absolutely it does. That's the father, Al-Hassan. Yeah, absolutely. There's no coincidence here, Tim.
No,
this is all exactly part of a plan that somebody put together.
Yeah, exactly, and it's going to be the death of us with this PC culture, literally. I mean, we
absolutely
already see it with the Black Lives Matters and the cop killings.
Yeah, yeah. It's what's wrong with our culture. That's that media, that's the government combining to try and make the American people do something that we shouldn't want to do.
Yeah, we are now in such a state of insanity that it's just maddening.
Yeah, it's through the licking. It's like we all dropped acid in this country the way things are going. It's crazy.
You know, earlier we were playing the Leave It to Beaver theme song. I want to go back to 1957.
All right, click your heels three times, brother. You can do it.
Thanks for the call, Tim.
Okay,
appreciate it. Take care. Yeah, I mean, I'd like to go back to the simple days where all I had to worry about was nuclear Armageddon.
Yeah. I mean, you and I grew up during the Cold War and the threat of Soviet ICBMs and everything, and that seems like a much happier, simpler time.
It was. Ed, we got Ed on the line. Wait until after the break, Ed, and we'll get you. Hang in there. See you on the other side.
Wham! Talk 1600.
Hey, my blood brothers of freedom. This is Ted Nugent.
Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse.
God bless Ann Arbor and Wham! Radio. I started doing interviews on Wham! Radio around 1966. I celebrate and promote the God-given individual right as guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, for us to defend ourselves, to keep and bear arms. And just to make sure everyone understands what we the people understand, keep can only mean one thing. That's it's mine and you can't have it.
Wham!
Fox News Radio. I'm Lillian Wu. A court appearance just now for the man arrested in connection to some of the shootings along the Phoenix area freeway.
I'm going to impose a $1 million cash-only bond.
Judge saying she found sufficient probable cause regarding the crimes that Leslie Merritt Jr. is being accused of, but the 21-year-old insisting...
All I have to say is that I'm the wrong guy. I tried telling the detective that. My gun's been in the pawn shop for the last 2 months. I haven't even had access to a weapon.
Merritt taken into custody last night at a Walmart in Glendale, Arizona. Officials have said the weapon he owns is forensically linked to the crimes. Some passengers on a Virgin Atlantic flight at New York's JFK Airport catching an unnerving sight out the window as a plane was preparing to take off this morning, the wing hitting a fence.
Did it dent the wing? It looked like the wing's dented.
Flight 26 to London grounded. The people on board bussed back to the terminal. Fox News, we report. You decide.
To succeed in today's business environment, your business needs to be seen by as many customers as possible. The Current newspaper serves Washtenaw, Oakland, and Livingston counties. Advertising in The Current is the best way to get your money's worth out of your print media budget. The Current has grown 600% since 2007 because The Current has a unique venue for local content, common sense, and your business message. Getting your business message into thousands of homes utilizing The Current newspaper for mere pennies apiece is the best way to do that. And your ad is also seen online for free. Call Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current, at 734-629-6010. That's 734-629-6010. Or go to currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. Grow your business in print and online with The Current newspaper.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to catch our drift. In studio with me, Brandon Drake.
You know, I was thinking there'll be a new show coming up. Instead of Leave It to Beaver, it'll be based on that, and you'll have, Muhammad as Ward Cleaver, you know, Moesha Salam as, Mrs. June Cleaver, and a mom. They're running out of Muslim names here. They're all the same. If you throw Muhammad in there, give me another Muslim name. I ruined my own shtick here.
Malacca? I don't know.
Yeah,
you're drawing a blank.
And Malacca Muhammad as the beheader.
Well,
not the beaver, as the beheader.
As the beheader. I'll tell you a story. When I was in Germany in 2005, this is 10 years ago, right? Watching TV in Germany, and there was a sitcom of Muslims, and they were speaking, whatever, Arabic, I guess. It was one of the channels there, and you kind of got the gist of it. It was kind of funny, actually. And, you know, I don't know if that was moderate, if that was acceptable, if that was politically incorrect for Islam, but it was a family of immigrants in Germany working working like a grocery store in Germany.
Not a gas station?
Yeah, it wasn't a gas station. It was like a store, you know.
With a gas pump out front?
No gas pump. Well, anyways, I wanted to get to this because... Thank you. Come again. That's Indians.
I know.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm on the wrong lane. The guy that was at Donald Trump's and saying this, well, you know, people like that, blame yourself, Barack, for having people in the United States, because, like, I think the latest poll was 1/3 of Americans think that he is still Muslim, you know, or that he is Muslim. Derek, do you have that track 2 and 3 ready? These are words out of Barack Obama's mouth. You can take them out of context. You can take them any way you want. They came out of his mouth. And it's no wonder that people like that guy believe he's a Muslim. Go ahead with track 2.
But my father came from a Kenyan family that includes generations of Muslims. As a boy, I spent several years in Indonesia and heard the call of the azan at the break of dawn. I have known Islam on 3 continents before coming to the region where it was first revealed. That experience guides my conviction.
You are absolutely right that John McCain has not talked about my Muslim faith.
Okay, let's just roll, Derek, right into number 3. These are all words come. This is Barack Obama speaking. All these clips. Go ahead.
We are no longer a Christian nation.
We do not consider ourselves a Christian nation.
The United States has been enriched by Muslim Americans. Since our founding, American Muslims have enriched the United States. Islam has always been a part of America's story. There is a mosque in every state in our union, and over 1,200 mosques within our borders.
You know, one of the points I want to make is that if you actually took the number of Muslims, Americans, we'd be one of the largest Muslim countries in the world.
All right, so media.
What the hell is he talking about?
Yeah, media, blame yourselves and blame Barack Obama because you know what? He said it. No wonder people have a tendency to believe that he may not be Christian. You know, frankly, if he is Christian, show me your baptism papers. Or tell me when you went and got baptized or whatever. Or you know, I won't even be that way. Tell me what church or wherever it was that you decided to become Christian. Because you know what? Under Islamic law, you were born to an Islamic father. You are Islamic unless you renounce. Have you renounced and become an apostate? If that's a fact, say it and tell the Muslim world that you are apostate, Mr. Obama. Tell me that and declare it loud and proud that you're a Christian and not an apostate or not a Muslim.
You know, Theron mockingly calls him Black Jesus because of all the worship that the left gives him. Maybe more fittingly, Black Muhammad.
Well, there you go. There you go.
You know, in this church that he supposedly went to, we know all about that. It was basically the Church of I Hate America.
Yeah.
Big Mouth. What was his name? The Reverend
Jeremiah
Jackass.
Wright.
Yeah,
Jeremiah.
Jackass Wright. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we get him.
So this goes on because, you know what, Hillary did the same thing. She's calling out Trump on tweets saying, this is inappropriate that you didn't call this guy on the carpet and tell him it's not true. In the 2008 campaign, Hillary's campaign people put out a picture of Barack Obama in his Muslim dress.
I remember that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you know what, for Hillary to do that, she's the biggest hypocrite on the planet. If you vote for Hillary, she's the hypocrite in chief in waiting. Because you know what? Don't say anything about Donald Trump when Donald Trump just ignored it. Hillary actively put out a picture of Barack in Muslim gear.
Yeah, but see, that's okay. She's a woman and a Democrat. You know, if between Barack Obama and if we get Hillary Clinton, you know, the 1-2 punch, that'll be it.
Yeah.
I mean, we are just...
Yeah,
we'll be so screwed, like we've said over and over again. But we're constantly reminded of it with this woman.
Yeah. Well, you know, the fact that Barack seems to be doing more for Iran than he does the American people, especially with this nuke deal coming up, you know, it's not unbelievable to think that Barack Hussein Obama is a Muslim. Is he a Sunni or a Shia? You know, siding with Iran, I'd say he's probably got some Shia background. It'd be interesting to look and see if his father was a Shia or a Sunni Muslim. I don't know. Maybe we can find that out. We'll have to look for it. Let's take a call from Ed, who wants to talk about that nuke deal. Ed, welcome to the show.
Well, yeah, you know, while you were talking about that, I was thinking of the Reverend Wright, and Obama said he did find his Christian faith there. That's the last place anybody could find Christian faith, so let's just say he never really did, but he did claim to. But I was thinking about this bomb earlier this week. I'm sorry, plot. Did I say bomb? I was thinking about this plot that you had earlier. And we were talking about it at work, and I was joking around, like, hey, Uncle Ackerman, thanks for your help with the science project. What are these two terminals here for? Well, that's for the batteries. For what? Well, that's for later, you know?
Yeah.
And the alternate view of that Hollywood plot line would, you know, that'd be for your next visit to school, you know? But then the Hollywood plot line would be, hey, what's these two battery terminals for? That's when you go visit the president.
Yeah, well, let me ask you this, Ed. I mean, is this a ploy so that the police will no longer look at young kids with clocks that sit in briefcases now and allow more of them to walk around the country so that maybe 10% of them can actually have bombs? And they won't get stopped because the cops are going to be like, yeah, I'm going to let them go because, you know what, I don't want to get in trouble and have the media on me and blah, blah, blah. So have they just made their first ramp at desensitizing us, I guess,
right,
to young Muslim kids with clock suitcases?
Hey, it worked with Black Lives Matter, didn't it?
I guess it does. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking, too, the security at the White House is so lax with people going over the wall, over the fence, that if this kid tries to bring his clock and it's a real bomb, all he's got to do is scale the wall. Run right in there and say, guess who's coming to dinner, Mr. President? Me and my bomb.
Yeah, go ahead, Ed. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's just the kid, you know, the guards will say, hey, you having sex with the hookers tonight? I don't know. Well, what do we do? Oh, let the kid in. It's just a kid with the clock.
Why does the show always go to sex? I don't understand.
It always ends up with hookers, doesn't it?
It's infecting our callers now. How is that happening? Thanks for the call, Ed.
To deal with hookers, yeah, you got to be in the Secret Service or a Sky Marshal.
Thanks, Ed.
See ya.
Yeah, it's crazy. And again, it goes back to the fact that Obama seems to be doing everything he can to protect Iran. Now, we got another track here. Derek, you got track four ready? You know, there's a number of Americans, and everyone knows this, that died in Iraq and in Afghanistan
because of Iran.
So all of a sudden, the United States government will not reveal exactly how many American soldiers died due to Iranian IEDs. Let's run that track real quick, Derek.
Secretary of State John Kerry said Monday the Obama administration is willing to talk with Iran over deteriorating security conditions in Iraq and is not ruling out potential U.S.-Iranian military cooperation in stemming the advance of Sunni extremists. Kerry also said that U.S. airstrikes, including from unmanned drones, may well be an option that President Barack Obama chooses to try to halt the advance of fighters from the Al-Qaeda-inspired Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant.
Okay, so we're not using drones already? Are you kidding me? We're not using drones already? We're thinking about it. Well, you better start thinking about it before they take over Europe!
Yeah, I always thought we were using drones.
I did too! It's just astounding to me. Well, and now they want to protect because he's trying so hard to get this Iran nuke deal through. He doesn't want the American people to know how many of our soldiers died due to the financing of Iranian IEDs.
Well, let's go back to shortly after Desert Storm, Khobar Towers. Guess who blew up Khobar Towers and killed, I believe it was 19 American servicemen there?
Yeah, I think it was.
That was the Iranians, at least per the former FBI director, Louis Free.
Yeah.
He says right in his book, they traced it right to the Iranians, but Bill Clinton put the kibosh on the whole thing because he was trying to have an opening with Iran at that point in time.
Yeah, you know.
And, you know, there is a Hezbollah wing operating in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
You know, that operates out of southern Lebanon, which is a proxy of Iran. Iran can always throw their hands up and go, we have nothing to do with that. They've always, you know, will say their hands are clean, just like their nuclear program is for peaceful purposes
You know, like the Saudis. Only. Our hands are clean, even though 19 of the hijackers were all Saudi Arabia.
Exactly,
great.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the other thing that's out right now is now this war on ISIS. There are 50 of the intelligence guys in the federal government are now saying intel reports have been doctored by somebody. The Obama administration said, oh, it wasn't us. Yeah, whatever.
Must have been Dick Cheney.
He's saying he wants
to doctor everything. Yeah.
They're saying that intel reports have been altered to show that we're actually making progress against ISIS when we're not really making progress. That's incredibly insane.
Well, did you see the report where $500 million was allocated to train, quote, moderate anti-Assad, anti-ISIS forces in Syria, and they've spent $45 million $45 million, and they've trained 10 fighters.
I think the number was they trained 54, and they're all gone now except for like four.
Because the other
ones died or got captured or ran away.
I'm sure I'm screwing up the stat a little bit, but it's so outrageous.
It was $500 million.
Millions spent per each one, and nothing's been accomplished. Yeah. Because they go in there, and it's basically they're like the little punk that the bully steals the lunch money from.
Mm-hmm.
Because they go or they just go right in and sell their weapons and say we'll join you to ISIS.
Okay, now these discussions are pretty serious. So let me. I found this one track which I think is pretty funny. Let's lighten it up a little bit, shall we? This is about the Iranian.
Well, let's make sure we also touch on the Islamic hordes invading Europe.
The Visigoths are attacking Europe. Are you got that track ready, Derek? Let's listen to this. I'll get a little laugh out of it.
President Obama has made the world a safer place.
Well, I think it's fair to say that we're hopeful.
And our future looks more secure. This agreement has ensured peace. Talk to your doctor about this deal and ask him about the possible side effects. Oh. The deal removes sanctions and releases $150 billion to the mullahs. Even the Obama administration has acknowledged that some of these funds will be used to continue to support terror campaigns throughout the world. Iran can delay actual inspections for up to 24 days. Incredibly, inspectors will not be allowed access to military facilities. The only inspectors allowed will be Iranians, who will provide site samples themselves if they want to. Even if Iran is found to be violating these terms, nothing's in place to reimpose the present harsh sanctions which brought Iran to the bargaining table in the first place. And, incredibly, the U.S. would be required to help protect Iran's nuclear assets from sabotage. Americans now oppose Obama's Iran deal by over a 30-point margin.
No, sir, for you.
The White House couldn't care less. 200 U.S. admirals and generals analyzed the deal and issued an open letter opposing it, stating the deal actually provides Iran with a legitimate pathway to acquiring nuclear weapons simply by abiding by the deal. Visit IranSideEffects.com to tell them the deal is dangerous and a disgrace.
Hey, the Iran deal is nothing to lose your head over.
You know, take it after the Cialis commercial is what it is. It's on the website. Go to thedailydrift.com. You'll see it there.
You know, Jed Babin, who, you know, was on with Jerry Doyle quite a bit and former Assistant Secretary of Defense under, I believe, the first George Bush, he came right out and said, and this guy really knows what he's talking about, he came out and said on the Jerry Doyle show that this agreement actually ensures future nuclear war with Iran.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Ensures it. It's going to happen.
Yeah. Unless there's a regime change in Iran, the only way you're going to stop Iran from having a nuclear bomb is to go after them militarily. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can, unless you somehow put even tougher sanctions than we used to have, because I think the other nations, the P5, have already lifted their sanctions.
Oh, yeah. They're already, you know? I mean,
they're cutting deals left and right. The Russians just cut an S-300 missile system deal with them. It's done. The money's already moving and flowing, so they're getting their cash.
The French, the Germans, the British, they're all in there.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, let's, Derek, I've got, we want to talk about the Iranian, or not the Iranian, the Islamic hordes invading Europe. Let's start with track six, which is starting with Hungary. You got that one? All right, let's play it.
The clock is ticking in Hungary for scores of migrants who hope to cross this EU nation for richer destinations further west.
I'm from Afghanistan.
Come Tuesday, tough new rules go into effect, giving Hungarian authorities the power to arrest and jail anyone caught trying to enter from the Serbian border undetected. So crowds of migrants are now trying other routes through the Balkans, ahead of the right-wing government's new policy that's just hours away.
We must be fast, 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 and we don't know what happened to us.
By noon, more than 5,000 migrants had crossed from Serbia ahead of Tuesday's crackdown, near the record this year for a single day. And they're not only battling the new rules, but also the border fence that Hungary is erecting to keep its unwanted visitors out. David Miliband, chief of the International Rescue Committee, says Europe needs a bold response, but says fences aren't the answer.
We've seen have been shameful for Europe. No one should believe that fences are going to keep people out. Fences will simply mean more ingenuity and more money for criminal gangs to get into Europe.
But the fence is going up, while Germany and Austria impose their own border controls, creating fears of a backlog of desperate people who will be stuck in limbo.
All right.
You know who I largely blame for this is Germany. Germany has a very lucrative deal for these people if they can get to Germany, and those people know that, obviously. Mm-hmm. So that's their number one destination target to get there. So these other countries have to suffer the consequences largely because of Germany. I mean, they're at fault, too. But Germany's the big sugar daddy in this. Britain, they got some guaranteed lucrative welfare deals too if you can get there. So these people try to ride, you know, through the channel and get over to Britain. But this is what really upset me. I'm on the treadmill the other day and I'm thinking, okay, I haven't seen World News Tonight on ABC for quite a while. So I pop that on and note to self, never watch the news again while on the treadmill, especially because I was in a good mood until I got on the damn treadmill and started watching this. And it's showing the whole pity party, you know, people at the border. I believe it was the Hungarians with the fence, and you had the border police there. And so these Islamic people are of the entitlement mentality that they have a right to go through Hungary and get to Germany. So they start trying to tear the fence down, and so then the tear gas comes out, and it's showing, you know, our liberal media, it's showing the little boy crying, you know, because he got gassed, and all this just hysterical screaming and people holding up their kids. And it's like, you know what? You are not entitled to anything. Hungary is now finally trying to draw a line to protect their sovereignty. And if you want to risk your life coming from your country, your culture, your religion that caused all this havoc and chaos, because you've been at war with each other for a thousand years.
Yep.
You know, Syria is not a homogeneous state of one people. It's different ethnic groups that all hate each other, have all been killing each other forever. And to blame, and then they start blaming the United States. You see these stats? They say the United States is to blame because if they wanted to, they could end this. And then the other ones, they say the United States is to blame because we are involved. So, you know, once again, we're blamed for frickin' everything. But you have this one commentator, he's there on the ground among all the chaos and the crying and screaming. He says, it's really sad. These people risked their lives to get here. Did they? If you risk your lives, that implies that you may not accomplish what you're trying to do. There's risk.
There's risk.
But the Muslims never want to accept that there's consequences for what they do. It's all about entitlement, demands of the host nation they want to get to, that we should all just cave.
Well, that sounds like they're Democrats.
Yeah. And add one more thing to this. I could go on, and I'll probably start repeating myself. But what really upset me, aside from all the photo ops of trying to gain the sympathy of us, and you know what? If I was one of these people, I'd probably be trying to get the hell out of there too. But I'm not.
Right.
So therefore, I have my interests. They have theirs. Shouldn't our interest be to win and keep them out? So they don't destroy our culture, our society, our nation, everything that made it great. But ISIS, I think you probably remember this, they came out several weeks ago, if not months ago, and said, we are coming to Western Europe. Yeah. And at the time, ISIS was still kind of a blip on the map, you know, to a large degree. And I thought, well, that's a lot of bravado. What are you going to do? You know, you're going to invade Western Europe. How are you going to do that? They're doing it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're claiming they've already got 4,000 fighters now in with that massive migration wave.
Oh,
and you know it's true, right?
It's got to be thousands, if not tens of thousands. You know it's a no-brainer these people are infiltrating. And you can't vet all these people. There's no way to do that. Germany's saying they're going to take 1 million people?
Yeah.
I mean, there could be 100,000 easily of ISIS or ISIS supporters. And you know what? Here's the other thing, too. Look at what's gone on in Western Europe for so long. You can be a Muslim born in France, born in Germany, born in Belgium, and you become disaffected, and then you turn into a jihadist.
Yep.
You don't have to come from a foreign country to be a jihadist. You can be born in the country that took your grandparents in and go blow up the people you've been living with your whole life.
Yeah. The Germans are the ultimate in hypocrisy, because here they are complaining about Greece being lazy and having too much of an entitlement system and not working hard enough, not paying their debts. And yet Germany turns around on the opposite hand and says, we're going to take 1 million immigrants who all have to be fully taken care of because, A, they don't speak German. B, there's not going to be jobs for them even if they did speak German. So what are you doing, Germany? You're complaining that the Greeks are lazy and not paying their bills, and yet you're willing to take in 1 million refugees. And here's the big thing. This bothered me a lot. Some immigrants recently put in a petition to Germany saying, we don't like Oktoberfest. We don't believe in the alcohol. Are you kidding me?
Or the pork.
Yeah, exactly. No schnitzel? No yeah. Beer? And why would you invite people who don't like beer and schnitzel to come to your country?
It's so funny you say that, because I read this article, I think it was the Washington Post, and there's this idyllic little town, I think it's in East Germany, or the former East Germany, or the eastern part of the country, and it was largely spared from bombing in World War II, and there was really no combat. So it's like this gingerbread, you know, the architecture, the culture, everything's still just fully intact there from hundreds and hundreds of years, and they are known for their sausage in this town. Like, it's like, that's the place you go to get the real German sausage. Well, of course, they're being forced to... I didn't mean it that way. Their mayor is a crackpot, so he's begging for I don't know how many of these Muslims to come in from Syria, and they're already changing the lunch in the cafeteria at schools to take the pork and all that out of it, because they don't want to offend the new Muslim kids that are coming in. They can't even speak German.
Yeah, and now they're going to go halal. So no more pork sausage, no more schnitzel.
And so all the changes are happening, and it's this whole, well, we have to welcome everybody. And the whole collective German guilt about starting World War II in Europe and the Holocaust and all that, that still weighs on their mindset that they want to make amends for the past. By what? Being stupid?
Yeah, what did Germany do to the Arabs? There shouldn't be any amends there. Since when did Germany ever attack Arabs? Well, maybe during World War II.
And, there was a labor shortage in Germany in the 60s, and so they brought in all these Turkish, quote, guest workers. Yeah, anytime I hear guest workers, guests, give me a break. They never leave. Yeah. You bring them in, they take roots, they bring all their family, and they just keep growing.
Yeah.
So Germany's once again fooling themselves, and they say, oh, these are going to be guests and blah, 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 until they're, you know, in theory, their home country stabilizes.
Yeah. Let me hit this last thing before we leave, because we're running out. And there's a lot of people having a big brouhaha.
And they're going to end up here.
Yeah.
I mean, Germany, Europe will say, we can't have all these people. Yeah. And then, you know, Obama, yeah, like, we can take even more.
Yeah. Well, Barack Hussein is saying, I'm going to bring in 10,000 Syrians, right? The United States of America already brings over 250,000 Muslims from the Middle East every year.
And how many come to, quote, visit?
Yes.
And then just stay.
Yeah, that's 250,000 every year. We're doing it more than our share. I don't see people from Central America going to Europe. Is Europe going to take some of our Central Americans? I don't think so. So we're doing more than our share if we're bringing in 250,000 Muslims from that part of the world every year. Right? Another 10,000 is a drop in the bucket, I guess, but still.
Depends on who they are.
And how are you vetting 250,000 people a year to see that they're not American-hating jihadists?
And of those 250,000, how many kids are they going to have? I mean, they don't have like one kid and call it a day. No, it's like 10.
All right, until next week.
Right?
I agree. Until next week, protect yourself, eat bacon.
Yeah. Be defiant, people. Stand up for the cause, eat bacon.
Take some bacon and staple it to your door.
Take that sausage with pride.
All right, till next week, go to thedailydrift.com. See you then.